Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. King Josiah was one of very few righteous kings in Judah. Josiah started his reign over Judah at just 8 years old and ruled for 31 years. Notice here, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 2 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Eternal, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left." Josiah resurrected the legacy of King David. David was a man after God's own heart. David mastered repentance and learned how to follow God in every detail of his life. Josiah lived the same way. And he really was a fantastic king for Judah. He really did go all out to obey God to the very fullest. Here in 2 Chronicles 34, starting in verse 8, "Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Eternal, his God." This was a major priority for Josiah. He really wanted to restore God's temple. Today, God's temple is spiritual. It's the Philadelphia Church of God. It's God's one true church on this earth. And we have also been blessed to have our spiritual temple restored in this end time, first by Herbert W. Armstrong, then by Mr. Gerald Fleury. And what a blessing to have people who keep God's law, who fear God, who submit to God, who lead all the people to God, like Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury have done for us. Josiah did the same for Judah, literally repairing God's house, pouring money and resources into reestablishing God's house as the religious center of Judah. It hadn't been for a long time. And Josiah made sure that the music program was reestablished as well. This was really important to Josiah. Worshiping God the way that God commands us to worship him. God tells us in the Ten Commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me." And yet Judah was filled with all kinds of pagan religious practices at the time that Josiah took over as king. Even Josiah's own father, the king before him, who was assassinated, was a wicked king. And Josiah had to go against the way of his own human father to get the nation back on track. God expects us to choose him over our own family if they choose to rebel. Josiah did exactly that. And so there are just so many things about Josiah that we can admire, so many lessons we can take from his life, his reign as king of Judah. There's so much to learn here. Such precious history recorded in detail for us in 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35, and also in 2 Kings 22 and 23. notice here, starting in verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Eternal, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Eternal given by Moses. This was a major turning point in the nation. Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law, likely the book of Deuteronomy that Moses wrote. Deuteronomy has the blessings and curses chapter, Deuteronomy 28. So obviously this is a kind of book that could really strike someone to the very heart and core of their being. Hilkiah read that book and was moved. Then Shaphan read the book. He was the scribe. He was deeply moved by this book of the law. And then Shaphan passed the book along to King Josiah. And this is how Josiah reacted. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. Josiah saw how far off track Judah really was in comparison to God's law. The book of Deuteronomy is really like an inspiring final sermon by Moses to the Israelites before they took the promised land. This is quite a ways previous in Israel's history. But Moses did have some strong warnings for the people to stay away from the heathen, idolatrous practices of the peoples around them. And yet Judah was infested with wrong religious practices, idols and pagan altars and centers of worship everywhere. So Josiah read this and he tore his clothes apart. He was devastated by how far off track Judah really was. And it's amazing how quickly we can forget God's standard if we are not studying the law, if we are not investing an hour a day in our Bible study. We can easily forget so many things that are just vitally important to our lives as Christians. We have to regularly study the Bible. That is God's thinking. That's God's way of life written down for us. And we don't think the same way God does. The way the Bible expresses things is not how we normally think. So if we're not studying the Bible, our thinking is going to be way off. God sets the standard. God writes the law. God tells us how to live, to be blessed. We don't know better on our own. We have to obey the law. But how do we do that unless we're studying it and really truly understanding how God's law applies in every single situation in life? We have to really understand how the Ten Commandments apply literally to everything we think, say, and do every day. There is a Bible-based reason for everything that we do, or at least there should be, if we're taking the right actions. So Josiah rent his clothes. He tore his clothes when he read the book of the law. Josiah really wanted to know, okay, obviously Judah has earned curses as a nation by worshiping idols, gods of wood, metal, and stone, the sun, moon, and stars, and other living creatures. instead of worshiping the one true God. Judah was worshiping literally everything else that moved and didn't move, except for God. So Josiah knew that the nation would be punished because that is what the book of the law guarantees. We cannot break God's law and expect to avoid punishment. Josiah sent some representatives to Huldah the prophetess here in 2 Chronicles 34. And Huldah thankfully said, yes, God still is going to curse the nation, but he will wait until after Josiah is gone. Josiah won't have to witness the destruction of his beloved nation because he is obeying God. He cares about upholding God's law and God's standard. So the nation will be blessed as long as Josiah is alive. Let's go over to 2 Kings 23 just to see really how radical Josiah was in response to reading the book of the law. Again, probably the book of Deuteronomy, which is really just a masterful work of just really Christian living principles in a lot of cases. It really tells us how to live. But Josiah reacted very strongly. He purged idolatry from his nation with violence, with force. This is 2 Kings 23, starting in verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Eternal all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. You see, these people were literally worshiping the creation rather than the creator. Verse 6, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Eternal without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Eternal where the women wove hangings for the grove. Well, what's that all about? The houses of the Sodomites? That's right. What does God think about sodomy? What does God think about sexual perversion? Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, transgenderism. All this filth that has plagued our nations today. God tears down those houses. That's an abomination to God. Verse 8, and he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and broke down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Just incredible, righteous violence by Josiah, destroying every last vestige of paganism in Judah and punishing the pagan priests, just wiping out all this rebellion against God. Verse 10, This is 2 Kings 23 still, verse 10. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. You see, we might think, well, isn't that a little bit extreme? Why couldn't Josiah be a bit more tolerant of differing beliefs? These other religions were sacrificing babies. They were tossing their own babies into the fire because they thought that would please their false gods. And that does please the devil. Do we see babies being slaughtered today? Are we righteously indignant about that injustice today? Even if we're not literally throwing babies in the fire, are we not tearing them apart in the womb? Are we not sacrificing our children to the devil when we neglect them and fail to raise them God's way? Satan will gladly step in and educate our children for us if we don't want to do it. Second Kings 23 just continues. I'll just go to verse 16 now. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Eternal, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. That's right. This is perhaps the most astounding part of the story of Josiah. Josiah's reign as king and what he would do during his reign was actually prophesied 360 years in advance. This is way back in 1 Kings 13, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Eternal, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon you shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon you, and men's bones shall be burnt upon you. This unnamed prophet's literally speaking to the pagan altar. And he's saying, a king is going to come along named Josiah, and he's going to burn the bones of pagan priests on you, on this altar. Now, only God could make that happen. This is page 272 of Mr. Gerald Fleury's free book, The Former Prophets. Josiah became king at the tender age of 8. Remember, God had specifically prophesied about Josiah's righteous rule 360 years earlier during the reign of Jeroboam, even naming him. It was as if the forces of evil were on notice. Surely Satan tried to do everything possible to prevent someone named Josiah from becoming king. But God is more powerful than the devil. Josiah's very existence and rule is proof of God. This is the God we serve. He is more powerful than the devil. And when we read the book of the law and we are inspired to take radical action to obey, God can empower us to do so. Yes, Satan pulls us down with our carnal human nature. Yes, he puts all kinds of temptations in our path. And yet, we can obey. It is possible by the power of God's Holy Spirit. This is page 274. Are we stirred by God's law? Are we alarmed by how most of God's own people have rejected his law and government today? We should be just as stirred and alarmed as Hilkiah, Shaphan, and Josiah were. we should react even more emotionally. It takes a strong reaction to establish and keep God's law and government in the spiritual temple today. God's very elect are that temple. You are that temple if you obey God's government today. You are not God's temple if you don't. See, this is really something for us to think hard about. Josiah reacted immediately. He did whatever it took to eliminate sin. We are expected to go to extremes to put sin out of our lives. Matthew 5 talks about figuratively cutting off a hand or plucking out an eye, if that's what it takes. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 is a wonderful promise from God, very encouraging to us when we're struggling with sin. Because God says, you know what? I understand it's difficult, but here's what you can always fall back on. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, a golden promise from God that no matter how tough the temptation is, someone else has been there before and overcome it with God's help. And so can you. God says, no matter how tough the trial is, you are even tougher than that trial. But you have to go to God for help. You have to pray. You have to study. You have to meditate. You have to fast. You have to fellowship. The five spiritual tools. Use them every day, all day long. And God also promises there that anytime you have a temptation, there is a way out. There is a way of escape. You can pray in the moment for deliverance, and God will save you. You don't have to sin. Hebrews 12, though, shows us a little bit more about our part in all of this. God does expect urgent, intense, strenuous effort to put sin out, just like Josiah did. Hebrews 12, verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus Christ resisted unto blood. God wants us to be willing to do the same. Resisting unto blood. Can't you resist a little harder? Can't you do a little more to stay free of sin? That's the example Josiah sets for us. Josiah is called the best king ever in Judah in 2 Kings 23, verse 25. We can be the best Christians possible with God's help if we follow this example of Josiah. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.